Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 334. I do want to apologize if there's some background noise. They're working, the gas company is working on the parking lot they had to dig up, and now they're like repaving or doing something, and hopefully you guys won't hear it, it won't be distracting, but we're certainly hearing it in here, so.
It's all good.
Strange people walking by the window. Okay.
We don't have a cone of silence here.
We do not. Yeah. We do not have a cone of silence, nor do we have a dedicated podcast studio like somebody did want, which I thought was kind of funny.
Who didn't want it?
Me.
Spoilers,
Bart. Yeah. Well, A, it'd have to be in the basement, okay. So we'd all have to go down to the basement.
And yeah, because we've never been down the basement.
No, but sitting down there for 2 hours, you know, might get a little creepy, you know. That's when the things come out.
The goat.
The goat. Yes, the goat. So, I had a lot of fun. I was just telling the guys I had...
Who are you?
I'm Colin McMahon. I own Pittsburgh Comics. And joining me tonight are...
Spencer.
Pat, who remembers this isn't the first podcast we've done.
And Dave.
I was still in the opening banter. But
you don't roll into your rant until you announce who you are first. Come on.
But I had a guy...
Well, this one sounded happy. Is there a happy rant? I mean, I thought rants were normally always on, like, the negative side.
No,
we'll
I
get
mean,
there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, happy discussion. But, well, here's a happy rant. But I had a guy... bringing in some books from a friend of who had passed, and just looking to get rid of them. So I went through it. It's interesting stuff, not necessarily all in the best condition. I don't know if the friend stored these in the boxes they came in, or if this guy just threw them in, he happened to have these boxes and threw them in them. But, you know, not a ton of care was taken. So, you know, always the little nicks and dings. But, so I went through yesterday, and there were a few good ones in there. But there were a lot more that might be in there. Like, there were books from certain areas where some, you know, keys that should be there weren't. So it's like, oh, maybe they're in the rest of the boxes. So he mentioned he had more to bring. So I'm like, okay. So he brought them in today, and I bought them sight unseen. I basically paid him what I had paid, you know, per box for the first batch. And just assuming, you know, it would be similar stuff. Stuff that I love that I will be talking about later, especially be doing some other stuff I'll talk about. But it was nice. There were some good books in there. I'm really happy. But it was almost like Christmas. It's very rare that I buy book. I've never bought books sight unseen before.
Yeah.
And so opening each box was, you know, ooh, look at this one. You know, that was kind of neat. I kind of enjoyed that. I won't do it again necessarily. But... I knew this guy didn't know anything about the books and wasn't bringing them in, you know, didn't hold the good stuff back or only brought me the good stuff. It was
it,
no,
yeah.
There was nothing like that. It was what he could fit in the car yesterday and what he could fit in the car today. So I gave him a fair price. He was happy with what I paid. I'm happy with what I paid, but it was a lot of fun going through. The only problem with it is in no order whatsoever. So I now have 13 long boxes of comics that are completely unsorted. So
that's a Wednesday or Saturday's report.
Yeah, it is, yes. This Saturday will be at Kennywood. So, yes, I think that's a great Saturday project. So I'm looking forward to that. It was funny. I was listening to one of my Gary Vee podcasts when I was cutting the grass Sunday. And it was funny because I was cutting the grass, I wasn't going to reach down and change it. You know, I was kind of busy, and I just let it play. And it's one I normally wouldn't have listened to. He was talking to one of the members of the Fugees. And I normally don't listen to his music ones because they just don't have any real correlation to what I do here. But he got on talking about branding at one point, and I found it a little fascinating. And then the best thing is that I like about listening to his stuff is...
Which member was it?
I don't know. It wasn't Lauryn Hill. I don't think it was Wyclef Jean, so...
Then it was Proz.
Okay.
Come on, man.
I didn't think that hard on it, but...
Dave knew that.
But... Well, he didn't have an accent, so that's why I knew it wasn't.
Okay.
I started thinking about it, just branding, and that's the best thing about listening to him is because it's not so much what he's saying, but then it starts a thought and takes you down a road, and it was just one of those, how can I brand, especially like my online presence, like Jermaine's Lord Retail, And I certainly can't be everything about comics. I can't, you know, be the know-it-all. Ask me a comic question. Well, no, I don't know everything. But what can I talk about to have my little niche, you know, be the go-to guy for something? And I realize I'm a little older than most of my customers. Oh, you're looking over my shoulder like somebody sneaking up to kill me. but so my frame of reference for some books is different than most of my customers. So I probably know a little more about stuff that they're not aware of. You know, if you just started reading in the 90s with, you know, X-Men number one and the cartoon and stuff like that, well, I'm a decade before that. So I thought it would be fun as I was, like, pricing books. Because what I'll do quite often is I'm pricing stuff and I'll take it over to Tim or Adam and say, oh, look at this one. I remember da-da-da-da-da, you know, and they didn't know about it. I'm like, well, why don't I, you know, just do a little research.
Adam was in diapers when that book came out.
But just do a little research on it and be able to, you know, disgorge a little more information than just my, you know, faulty memory. So it was just hilarious going through these boxes, and half of this stuff is stuff that I remember buying new off the shelf.
It's been a rack.
So it's just really funny getting these, you know, stuff, you know, there were several books that I remember getting in my subscription mailed to home. That was junior high that I did that. It was an offer on the back of an action figure.
Okay.
And it was a ridiculous price. And I'm like, Mom, can I get these? And she mailed away, and they started coming. So every day I'd check the mail. So it was just funny seeing a lot of those in there. And there were some keys that popped up. And not even keys. There was one. It was so funny. I saw it, and I flipped through it again. It's a first issue special. And it was The Outsiders. And it was like this creepy, weird book. And it gave me nightmares. And it was just so funny. And I've thought about it quite often, but I don't think I've ever seen it again. And I probably got this when
you
I was...
burned it.
Well, no, but I was probably 7 or 8 when this came out, and I bought it, you know, because it looked like it had a really cool cover, and it was just really creepy inside.
Kind of like the book that you had me look at earlier.
No, not creepy like that. but it was like, it was all these different characters and gave their little origins. Like, one was a kid that was born with this huge head, and everybody tried to kill him. And another one was an astronaut who went into space and crash-landed on this planet, and they rescued him and saved him, and they had to reconstruct his face because it was all mangled, and he gets back, and, well, they didn't know what he looked like, so they made him look like them. So now he's this, you know, looks like an alien creature. So they're, like a swamp creature, like, was born, and they hit her away, and all of a sudden she has these flippers for arms. But it was just really weird.
Okay.
But it was just one of those, you know, you have a vague, you know, it was one that stuck with me. And it was just funny seeing that. So just something to, you know, give me a little content to put out there.
Killed your dream of becoming an astronaut.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So it was just funny that I had just been talking about this, and literally the material for what I want to do just literally walked in the door Tuesday.
Fell out the sky and landed in your lap.
Yeah, so that was really funny. But it's funny, like I was just telling Pat, I said, I can't wait to play with these books because, you know, to sort them and bag them and, you know, price them, because this is some stuff that, you know, it's not the usual stuff that I get in. It's a little bit older, which is nice. You know, not super old. You know, sadly, it's not. You're not 60s stuff, but a lot of 70s. You know, Green Lantern and Justice League and all sorts of stuff. Marvel Team Up and Defenders. And
So a little bit of everything.
So that was fun. So that was my fun for these last 2 days. Today was a little slow, so it was kind of good that I was able to get through them. But yeah, sadly, 13 unsorted boxes. That's going to be. Because you sort each box and then merging them together. But I know how to do it.
Yeah,
it's just going to take a little bit. Nope.
Well, it worked downstairs, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
So while Colin's away, I guess we can go over our news. You see, Brendan Fraser is going to be Robot Man.
Yeah, I did see that.
That actually, I know you guys aren't on the group text that we have.
Yeah.
It was Josh and Adam were like, first of all, they're like, oh, that's a, you know, really good thing because you can kind of play the everyman. But it's sort of, man, I haven't seen him in anything in years.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, like, what was the last thing I saw him in?
George of the Jungle, or he was in the movie with, was it Ian McKellen?
What movie with Ian McKellen?
Kellen was a Nazi or something.
Apt Pupil?
Apt Pupil.
That wasn't him.
That wasn't him. Oh.
No, it was Brad Renfro.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of something.
No, he was. He was in the Mummy movies.
Right.
The last thing I saw him in, I think, actually was like G.I. Joe.
Was he in that? I don't know.
It was a cameo.
Oh,
it was
really?
Like, yeah, because the guy that directed the Mummy movies directed the first one, and just kind of put him in it, and it was like a real brief 30-second deal. He had like two lines, and that was it.
I think the last thing I seen him in, I can't even remember what it was, but it was like some like straight to video thing, like back whenever they still had a Hollywood Video, like,
okay.
And I rented it, like, because I was like, oh, Brendan Fraser, haven't seen him in anything for a while.
He was Dudley Do-Right, too.
Yeah. Encino Man.
Encino Man, yeah.
But I remember hearing people now wondering why they have, because they're going to have both on Doom Patrol, they're going to have both Robot Man and Cyborg. People kind of like, well, they're like the same kind of character.
Is Cyborg going to be in Doom Patrol?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I thought I saw that too.
I thought they were going to have him in Titans.
And maybe he'll go from.
I think there's
Doom Patrol
be to
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, because well, Doom Patrol shows up in Titans first. I think.
Okay.
I think they spin like how Flash spun out of Arrow. Doom Patrol is going to spin out of Titans.
Okay, that makes sense. And then, speaking of Arrow, they announced that the three-night crossover is going to be December 9th, 10th, and 11th. It's going to be Flash on Sunday, Arrow on Monday, and then Supergirl on Tuesday to kind of wrap everything up. But we'll see Kate Kane show up as Batwoman, which I'm really looking forward to that. I know the woman who's playing her took a lot of flack.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know, come on. You know,
I was surprised when I heard that, but, like, not, like, mad surprised. It was just like, oh, wow, that's not somebody who, I figured it would have been, like, somebody that I never really kind of heard of. Like, they've done with, like, all these CW shows.
Tonight Show last week or something, and she's good. She looks like she's really into, you know, being Batwoman and into this part.
Yeah. Well, one thing, they said they wanted an out actress, and you know, she is.
Yeah.
I know she did Orange is the New Black. I'm sure she's been in other things. I couldn't tell you what else. But, so, you know, it's not your kind of typical CW.
Yeah.
You know, we cast people off like Glee and Teeny Bopper, you know, other CW shows. They certainly went a little bit darker, but.
Have you heard about anything like, is Batgirl going to be set in, like, Supergirl's universe?
I haven't heard anything about that, so.
Because they established that there's a Batman in that universe.
That was kind of my thing, is Batwoman doesn't really work if there's no Batman.
Yeah.
You have to have that legacy. They did say Superman was going to show up for the crossover.
Oh,
well.
Nice.
Yeah,
because that kind of makes no sense. Like, you get all these heroes together, and you get, like, you know, you have Supergirl, you even bring in Jimmy Olsen, you don't think you'd take 5 minutes to get, because it's not like it's going to take them long to get there.
We need Guardian. No, I think you got a bigger gun than that you can call.
Yeah, you might want to call Superman.
Movie I was thinking of was Gods and Monsters.
Okay.
With Ian McKellen.
Okay.
Just, I digress.
No, that's all right. Yeah. It was like, no, that's, I mean, Ian McKellen, it was that pupil, but that wasn't Brendan Fraser. Dallas, I remember that movie very differently.
I heard today that Superman is going to be in the...
that's what we were just saying.
I'm sorry, in Lois Lane.
Okay.
Lois Lane is going to make her first appearance.
Well, they had her sister in like, the first two seasons or something. It was, like, Jimmy Olsen's girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty excited, though, to see what they do. And I think you have to either have her come from the Supergirl universe, or Black Lightning.
Meh.
Because although he's not part of it, that I think that's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
He belongs to be part of it. You know, maybe they do an outsider show and then bring him in.
That'd be awesome.
The crossover they did last year was so good.
Yeah. Yes. Now, I wonder...
That Earth X one.
I wonder, so with them really, not
so
cutting in, like, Legends of Tomorrow, if those characters aren't going to be involved at all. Because if not, that's a very... it really narrows the cast down a lot, you know...
Does, but that was one of the problems.
Which I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm wondering what they're going to do. If maybe they cherry pick a couple, you know, get.
Well, but when you think about it, so you have Constantine, who's pretty much going to carry that show, I think, next season.
Yeah.
You know, the Atom, maybe Vixen, White Canary isn't really a character. Like, I don't even know who else is even on that show anymore.
I think the fan favorite is Mick.
Yeah.
I think he's the...
But
if they get rid of him, that's where the fans are like, hey. But I don't...
He's not really a hero, so...
No. Which, I mean, like, I've liked him on Legends, but, like... Because of that and the Captain Cole, I just feel like they just, on the Flash show, they miss such a part of what makes the Flash is with
no
the
rogues.
Yeah,
because I was like, they've only had, like, what, one episode with Captain Boomerang?
Yeah.
And that was an Arrow crossover.
Yeah. I don't even think they've done one when they've gone full rogues, like, all, like, five or six of them, I don't think. Normally, I think at the most it's, like, three.
Yeah, because they had, was it Golden Glider?
Was Mirror Master on one episode?
He was, but I don't think he was with them as the rogues.
Yeah, yeah.
The Top never showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trickster hasn't been with them. He's just had his own episodes, right?
Well, yeah, but that's also because they brought Mark Hamill back to be, you know, the Trickster as well.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's something I'm looking forward to. It was probably one of my favorite episodes of last season.
Yeah.
You know, kind of all together, but of each individual show, I kind of like that episode the best. And, you know, introducing Batwoman, who's then going to get her own show, possibly, that's pretty exciting. I guess we'll see how it works out.
Yeah. I just think that she probably, you know, she deserves her own show. As long as they don't screw it up terribly, you know, introducing her.
I think, there are characters that are side characters. They don't really, you know, yes, they possibly could carry their own book. If you have the right story to tell, they can carry their own book. But if I'm a publisher, what does it cost to publish a book where, you know, a multi-million dollar TV show, you have to be able to capture an audience pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I think without the Batman mythos behind it, you're going to have a real problem. Because if she's wearing the bat, you have to explain why. You know, do you delve into her relationship with how she's related to Batman? Does Batman make an appearance? Even if it's just, you know, the first episode, you have him show up and be like, look, we kind of don't see eye to eye on how we do things.
Yeah.
I'm here if you need me, but we can't work together.
See, I thought back whenever they did Flashpoint back in what was like season two of Flash, that would have been the perfect time to introduce the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, to see how it would work and stuff like that. And if it was all right and people liked it, then you could just have that actor come back later as, like, and you could only have, like, he doesn't have to have his own show, but you could use him for the crossovers or,
well, like,
you know,
how they
like,
do with Superman.
Yeah.
With Supergirl. But I think when it first started, that was part of the problem. They couldn't use the big three.
Yeah.
Justice League tank, which is, that probably opens up some of that. Well, it didn't tank, but it did make $1 billion, and it should have. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that probably played into some of the decision-making. The guy that they got to play Superman was so well-received.
Yeah.
That certainly...
He was a good Superman.
You know, he looked the part, and it played well with Kara.
And the suit wasn't terrible either. Like, the suit was pretty good.
I mean, for TV Superman, it looked pretty good.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, that's not a suit, like, with, like, Arrow and some of them guys. You know, you could leather up that suit. Like, you know what I mean? And it would look right and it would make sense. You really can't do that for a Superman suit. Like, it has to have that certain kind of look and feel to it. And it didn't look, like, look cheesy or cheap or anything.
Yeah.
There was an episode of Arrow, too, where... where Oliver did mention the name of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce Wayne can exist, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's Batman. Or that they know he's Batman, or that...
Well, that's true,
Because they even brought up Bloodhaven, Gotham a couple of times.
I mean, they brought up Coast City how many times. They had Hal Jordan's bomber jacket, but they've never talked about the ring, but... Which, not making Diggle John Stewart, I still think is the biggest mistake. Because he looks the part, he acts the part. Just make John Stewart be done with
it. Yeah, he would be a good John Stewart now that you mention it. Because he definitely has, like you said, like the build, the look, like the sternness that you would need.
Well, even the character, his ex-military. Yeah. He's John Stewart in all but name.
Yeah.
So just give him a damn ring and move on. But I think the other thing with bringing in Batman might have to do with the Gotham show.
Yeah.
There may be some kind of agreement worked out to where if anyone gets to use him, it's them, and they don't use him.
Yeah. Well, they only got one more season, so.
That's probably going to be in the last scene as he puts.
Yeah, I think that's how. Yeah.
But he's still baby Batman.
He's going to look like that one picture of, that one cover of, Batman and Robin where, like, it's the, Damien as a baby and he gets into the trunk and puts on the cowl. That's what he's going to look like at the end of the show.
I'm Batman!
He's going to be all big and hanging.
Yeah, your voice needs to be way rattler. Yeah, go through puberty and then maybe you can get away with it.
Sorry about that.
No, it's
we're missing Tim. Tim would have been here. Tim would have taken care of that.
No, that's okay.
Tim is off gallivanting through town with his wife. You want to click the open sign to keep anybody else from coming in?
Should we still say bye to Tim?
Bye, Tim. Bye. Oh, he left 2 hours ago. God. Good thing I get to dock his pay.
You're rubbing your hands. I get to dock his pay.
I had to do the work.
Yeah.
Snidely Whiplash over there.
It's what I miss.
Oh, we were discussing Brendan Fraser.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
Cliff Steele.
Yep. And then the...
was he race car driver crossover. Or Daredevil?
Race car driver, I think.
Oh, yeah. So you got time to check your phone.
It was a Flyers... Okay. Message, okay?
All right. Then I'll allow it.
There you go, see? That was very funny then. That just happened to be a Flyers message. What other news? I don't remember any news.
No, we were discussing the CW crossover and Batwoman and how that might fit with Batman or if, we'll see.
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts on the X-Men number one being like $8?
That was going to be his rant.
Wow, you just like...
Really? Oh,
yeah, it's a weekly series.
Yes,
it's an $8 book for number one.
And I believe I already saw it. Well, I didn't count, but we'll say roughly 15 covers.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good, so...
Yeah, uh-oh. We had a Columbia Gas truck pull up and... Crew of people.
He's an inspector. He's all right.
Well, it turns out there was an extra meter they didn't know about. So.
You should know that.
I didn't know where the meters were.
You don't have to know. They need to know. Columbia Gas should know. I'm sure they're billing you for three.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I'm getting billed for two, but theirs is in the back behind a bush.
Okay, but I mean, there's...
Right.
Three.
Right. Well, no, because what happened is they came by earlier and they were going to combine my two accounts into one. Because I pay gas here and gas there, and they're like, well, we can combine the meters to one. Especially, like, in the summer, I'm paying minimum $25 a month.
Yeah.
So, they said they were going to do that. I thought they had already done that when they were here, so I didn't think anything of it.
But with that, well, I mean, it's future Colin's problem, but I mean, if you ever want...
Right, we'll just have to separate them again.
Yeah.
But I think the guy that I just waved to was the guy who came before. So, I don't know. But at least he's the one there, and I say, I didn't know if you had done it then or not. So they're figuring it out. But yeah, that's what the gas company's doing out there. So, yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But yeah, if they ask me questions about the meters on the outside of the building, I never looked at that.
Yeah.
Who looks at that stuff? Yeah. They send me a bill every month.
So.
Sorry. So, yeah, I can't really think of any other news, anything going on specifically. We'll know next week with the previews. But, yeah, Uncanny X-Men, number one, first in the. My bigger problem is it's an $8 issue, okay. You know, and I've seen people going, well, Action 1000 was $8. It's like, well, that was a little more special. This will be, what, my sixth Uncanny X-Men number one since I've opened?
That's it?
I thought that might be a little high. It might only be, this might be four, but still. Maybe five. But, Uncanny X-Men number one isn't that special. My bigger problem with it is that the first 10 issues are weekly. So by the time number one arrives, I already have my confirmed numbers for two and three in the system, and four will be going in very shortly. So we're guessing at numbers. Making it $8 makes me hedge back, because every extra copy of that costs, you know, twice as much as a regular book. So nobody's going to go really strong. I forget how many. I will pull up the image and let Spencer count. I have confidence in Spencer.
I can't count that high.
Does he have to take his shoes off?
I'm probably gonna have to.
Maybe. But yeah, So just count the number ones. But those are all the variants. And it's just a bad first step, because you want people to try a number one to see if they like it and come back for more. And pricing it at $8. That's a hard. Oh, I'll give it a shot. No. And yeah, 14 variant covers. Now, I don't know what the requirements on them are.
But even if it's open order for all of them, and an $8 book, you're not going to have that many.
That was the problem I had with Iron Man and even Fantastic Four to an extent, because, well, that's great that they're open order, but I can't order three of every cover and then however many regulars. It's, you know, so... You know, if I only order one or two, is that even worth ordering?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and then let's be realistic. People don't ask you to pre-order most of the time.
And then they'll come in. Oh, why don't you have this cover? Well, nobody asked for it. Right. I ordered two. Well, you know, and then
you should know.
Yeah, I get that a lot. I'm not Layla Miller. I've said that several times lately.
Okay.
Because she knows stuff.
Okay.
Dave read X Factor.
I got it.
So it's Tyrion. He drinks and he knows.
There you go. Exactly. Tyrion is the Layla Miller of Westeros. I like Layla Miller. That was a fun book. That was a really good book.
Peter David writing that.
Yes. X Factor by Peter David. Great. The recent run, the first recent run. I didn't read the second one.
The second was pretty good. There's one really disturbing.
Okay.
Sequence.
I was annoyed that at the end of the first one, he was like, you know, here I am, I'm hanging up my shingle, I'm looking forward to see where somebody else takes this book, and then the next month they announce a new number one. It was like, by him.
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah.
Okay, why?
Well, he was looking forward
to it. Right, and he realized that he was the person to take him on the next journey. So, but yeah, I just think it's a misstep. It was funny, Ryan Higgins... who is not a Marvel fan, had a pretty funny post saying, you know, everybody's worried about DC going from $2.99 to $3.99 across the board, and then Marvel steps up and goes, oh, you think that's something? Well, here we go.
Yeah.
Our new big book we've been talking about, weekly? Yeah, $8. You know, it's like, yeah. So, not a good... I'm concerned about that one. I will be pushing for pre-orders on that one because that's going to be a hard one to have a lot on the shelf. Especially, you know, because I mean, I know what my X-Men numbers are now, and I'll probably order it pretty tight to where X-Men Gold and X-Men Red are. X-Men Blues sells below that. So, I'll look at the Extermination numbers, see how that's doing, but... Yeah, it's not, you know, I'm sure some of these are going to be, oh, you know, this is a 1 in 100. Yeah, no, sorry guys, not at $8.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, stores went nuts on the Spider-Man at a $10 book, but that was also issue 800, and...
And it's also Spider-Man.
And it was culminating a storyline, and, you know, there was a lot to it. This is brand new by writers who haven't been writing it. Yeah. It'll be interesting. So, that was just my rant. But just
it wasn't really a rant.
No, it wasn't a rant, but just a concern. And what are you doing? Let me see if we have got any questions.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing, man?
We got no questions.
Did you ask for questions?
Oh, you know, I went to ask for questions, and I got distracted because Tim left. So I probably did not ask for questions. So I apologize.
That's probably why we didn't get questions.
That's probably, yeah. Whatever.
Whatever. Do what I want. It's my big sexy
body. Excuse you guys. Adam texted me.
Does Adam have a question? I have a question for Adam.
No, Adam's dealing with a kid with a bloody nose.
Tell him if he tells his mom.
Yeah.
He's going to have black eyes to go with that bloody nose.
No, not like that.
So things you learn when you have younger brothers. Because we were playing around, and I hit my brother in the face, and blood's pouring out of his nose. My mom's coming home in like 5 minutes. I'm just trying to get the blood to stop. I'm like, if you say anything, I'll kick your ass. And now he's bigger than me, so... Anyway.
Anywho.
So, books?
They're leaving. Okay. One truck's leaving. Spencer! And then I'm going to really make a confusing picture.
Justice League?
No, I forgot to. I didn't get to that.
You...
I got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I heard you kind of had an eventful. You get a pass.
Just one, though.
Okay.
Everybody gets one.
Okay. I need another pass in September, but okay.
You get a little bit of the Joker's background in this one, more just like, you know, the normal of, like, they go through a couple of different, like, was he just a, you know, normal kid, you know, or was he abused when he was young, or, you know, they go through those couple of different scenarios and talks about how, you know, he doesn't even really know. A lot of this takes place inside of Batman, or Superman and Martian Manhunter because of how, Batman and Hawkwoman are shrunk down and in those, like little fighter jets things. And there's a big battle that goes on between Lex Luthor and Batman. And let's just say it doesn't go too well for Batman. He gets kind of jacked up in this issue.
He's not super Lex Luthor anymore, is he?
Hmm?
He's not super Lex Luthor.
No, it was like an explosion kind of thing. And
okay.
It wasn't necessarily done by, like, Luthor's hands. Like, okay. You know, he didn't break his back over his knee or anything like that, Bane style.
That was unnecessary.
And then over in Martian Manhunter, well, he's taking control of Martian Manhunter's body. The Joker is he kind of with Martian Manhunter being a shapeshifter. He kind of almost gets this like Joker like look to his face, kind of. That's really it's like half Martian, half Joker. It's kind of creepy. Hawker wakes up and starts fighting off the Joker again, but it seems like that source energy that Superman and Martian Manhunter are going to try to figure out is having an effect on Hawkgirl's wings. And it's like, it looks like it's making him into some kind of like metal thing, so.
They are metal, aren't they?
I don't know if the wings are.
No, I think she has just normal wings.
Okay.
That's not like Archangel from like the X-Men who has.
Yeah, the nth metal. Well, now I don't know about the Hawks. Metal. See, I thought it was like they had a belt that was nth metal that let them fly. And the wings were just kind of...
I also know that their origin is...
Yeah, like they've done alien. A million yeah. different... Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I always thought it was an nth metal belt, and the wings were just for fun.
For showmanship?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gliding. Yeah. But there's another alright issue. Gideon Falls, number 6.
I read that.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
And the first story arc. Crazy, some weird things happen in this.
That was really weird.
It almost felt like an acid trip, almost. Kind of like...
It was.
Into the Black Barn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the priest chased the... I forget his name, but the guy who shot the sheriff into the barn, right? Isn't that how... No?
I'm thinking Bob Marley.
The
I'm talking about the book, Colin.
First you were talking about it being like an acid trip, and I was talking about shooting the sheriff. And I mean, you know, it's not that hard to put together the clues.
Yeah. Especially with Colin's age and everything, that's back in.
Oh, man. That's a little messed up because I like Bob Marley, so.
Man.
But so anyways, once the preacher gets into the barn, he starts seeing some weird, images, and he's, like, kind of falling through things and stuff like that. And especially with, Ernst and Tino's art, how he's able to do all those weird...
That one page, it was unbelievable, because it was like the preacher was going out... It was like, you know, breaking the fourth wall and going out of one of the comic book pages and into the next page.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of one of my favorite runs of all time is Grant Morrison's Animal Man.
Yeah.
In the late 80s. And there's an issue where Animal Man goes on a POD trip.
I kind of remember that issue.
With his buddy, and then you turn the page, and it's just his. It's a great page. It was a page. It's just his buddy's head, and he's like he's looking at the reader and saying, "I can see you." It freaked me out as a kid. It just really, it was so good. This kind of reminded me of that kind of breaking the fourth wall kind of deal.
And then on the other side, you got the guy with the mask, Newton?
Is it Newton? I can't remember.
It's something like that. And the doctor, they're like walking around and they go to the park or something, isn't it? Where they start and they find pieces of what looks like the frame of like the door for the barn or something like that. So they decide that they're going to build the barn themselves. And as the issue ends, they slowly pull out of the city, and you see that the city that they are in is also Gideon Falls. So both, so like are they different dimensions or like some kind of time travel or maybe just space travel or like,
it's
you know, from...
Books. I don't really know what's happening all the time, but I am enjoying.
Because, I mean, you can have two different towns.
Like most Morrison books, but I love them.
Yeah.
You can have two different towns and two different parts of the country, but
where
would be the fun in that, you know?
Should we we get a little break till the next issue.
I think, you think like October. Yeah, yeah, I think so. Something like that. But
the image pause.
The image pause.
That's not that bad. It's only like a month, two.
Yeah.
Because I think they've already had, like, I think they've been working on this book for a while before they, like, I think, because I remember seeing something where he was talking about back when they were working on Old Man Logan, they kind of came up with this idea, and so I think they've been kind of slowly chipping away at it when they've had some time, and...
Yeah, well, Jeff Lemire's writing enough other stuff to
keep occupied. Well, I figured the art for that would take a while. I imagine he's such a good artist. I'd imagine it'd take a minute to get that on the page.
Yeah.
And then Magic Order number 3.
How was that? It's in my stack. I
mean, it's if you like the first two issues,
yeah,
it's...
I really like the first two. It's certainly my only problem with it is it's looking very dire for the heroes. It's at the end of issue 2. It was like
there's a major death in this issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man, was that brutal.
But it was very brutal, because they really have to, they check and make sure the person's dead.
But though, again,
so he's very, very dead.
With magic, you never know.
But you never know, but still, but it looked really dead.
And it's making me just wondering, like, how with, because, you know, they keep on talking about, like, this is going to be the first Netflix show. I think this is going to be the first one that's actually going to become a show.
I can't wait to see Nemesis. That'd
be cool. But how they, just like the pacing of this, like, because they've done a lot in these first three issues, I feel like. But I like the third issue. Like we said, there was kind of a big death. We get introduced to a couple, like, more, like, side characters and just, like, different, like, aspects of the magic. Like, there it opens up with this guy who's feeding off of, like, these two hobos making out because, like, the sex energy. He's able to, like, feed off that sex energy, and they had to chase him down to try to get information about who's killing people and stuff like that.
There was so much wrong with that last sentence.
It really was, yeah.
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 I don't want...
He ate a couple of hobos.
No. No, he was watching a couple hobos, like, make out and go at it.
Feeding off their
energy. The sex energy, not like he wasn't eating them like a sandwich or anything.
Okay, that was not clear because I thought he was, like, eating a hobo.
It happens.
Sure it does. But, you know... See two hobos going at him, like, man,
that makes me hungry. But that's it.
Yeah, Dave.
That's it.
Archie meets Batman 66.
What? You're reading Archie?
Number 2, yes.
Only for the Batman.
Only for the Batman.
It's Archie with a side of Batman.
The villains are moving into Riverdale now. With Siren, who's affecting all the adult males' minds, including Pop Tate, because he's now serving Joker burgers.
Oh, no.
And,
poor Pop.
Riddler is recruiting Reggie to be a villain, because he sees Reggie pull a practical joke on Archie, so he's going to be perfect.
I was going to say, that's not much of a stretch, is it?
No, and the Joker has a sight set on Jughead to use as a guinea pig to take over the kids.
Oh. Hope he doesn't put it in a hamburger or a cheeseburger.
I'm sure hamburgers will...
Factor into somehow.
In issue 3.
Probably have no effect on it.
The story seems to be starting now because Batman has sent Robin
undercover
as students at Riverdale High School.
Okay, I've never picked this book up, never read it, and I call it that. Come on. It's Batman 66, so it's like Cesar Romero style Joker, and I'm assuming his.
They even drew him with the
with the mustache, but like his actions and his plan have to be very Batman 66, not like you know a dark Scott Snyder Joker.
Doing a good job of it being very Batman 66 with the plot and the dialogue, everything, and it's
Chief O'Hara making an appearance yet?
No Chief O'Hara yet. I said you know bookworms in it.
King Tut?
No King Tut yet.
Man. That's Egghead?
It, but, nah.
Because Egghead was Vincent Price.
Egghead, yeah. No, just Joker, Penguin, Riddler, Catwoman, of course. Bookworm.
Fab Four
and Bookworm. And this new character, Siren. So, it's been a lot of fun. Next, Ice Cream Man. Number 6.
Still good?
This was a really good issue. This is one of the weirdest things I've ever read, I think. Because the issue, it's a silent issue, except for some dog barks. It's called Strange Neapolitan.
Okay.
And it's about a kid buys you know, Neapolitan ice cream from the ice cream man, a cone at the beginning. And he's walking down the street, and he comes to an intersection. You can either go straight, left, or right. And the rest of the story is told in three different lanes.
Like if he's gone, okay.
The middle and the bottom. The top is if he turns one way, he meets he bumps into a girl. The second story, he finds a dog. In the third story, he's kidnapped by this humanoid bird creature.
Okay.
And
never turn
right.
It is
just bizarre. And it's cool how they use the colors because of they use the colors of chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry in the three different stories. It's just really, it was really good.
Good.
It was really strange. So bizarre.
It's definitely an interesting mechanism to tell a story.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was like so interesting how method of the story and the coloring, and it was just really cool and disturbing, very disturbing, like all these stories have been. So I mean,
so you went from Archie to disturbing. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, at least no one was eating hobos, so
true.
Didn't have any hobo
true.
Hobo energy
any it's... hobo make out energy.
Next issue.
Jeez.
I think we have a title.
Hobo
Makeout Energy.
New number, maybe Colin, you read this. New number one from Image Crowded.
I did.
Not too distant future, there's an app where you could crowdfund assassinations.
Mm-hmm. So somebody pisses you off.
And the main character, I forget the main character, is Charlie in this.
All of a sudden she's...
She's...
Had a contract put on her.
Yes. It's like $1 million contract.
Which is really high, as her bodyguard is telling her, you must have really pissed off a lot of people. And she keeps playing innocent. No, I have... And she has all these jobs that are like Uber-type jobs, where she's walking dogs and let somebody borrow her, take her car, borrow a dress, all these things.
She's sitting on like a park bench with an old dude.
Yeah,
not a hobo,
like a
but an
no,
dude.
But yeah, just like companionship.
For companionship, yeah. And she doesn't know, you know, what she did or why people put on a contract on her. So she hires a bodyguard to keep her safe for the 30 days that the contract is in effect on the app. So
the protector has a weird story going on too, so it's interesting, but you get it definitely get the impression that the person who has the contract is not you don't know everything about her yet. There's something going on.
She's the one to put out the hit.
No not like that, but there's something, you know, maybe she's not, you know, she's definitely not all that she says she is. So But it was very, it was good. It was very interesting.
It was very interesting.
Art was good.
Yeah, art was good. Very, very fast moving, kinetic art. And it was cool.
It was good.
In Pearl.
Yeah, I read that. I liked everything about it except for one scene. This is one of the new Bendis ones at DC.
Yeah.
About this girl who's a tattoo artist. And I still didn't quite understand where she had been randomly tattooed by some famous tattoo artist. I wasn't quite getting all that, but...
It was like... I was thinking maybe she did it herself.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it's because she couldn't explain.
Because
yeah.
She has a steady hand for...
Right.
For a tattoo artist and for a gun.
But it was the case she has this spider tattoo who supposedly was done by this real famous guy, and she basically had told her friend that she was going to marry the guy, the first guy who knew what it was. Mm-hmm. And so this guy comes up and knows what it is. And so then they were like meeting like in a park or something, or they bumped into each other.
It was like a marketplace.
Yeah, and all of a sudden all these guys come and start shooting, and she ends up shooting. They were going to take out this new guy.
Yeah.
That was the scene I didn't like. I couldn't tell what was going on in that scene.
Like
the
The guy was
clear.
About to shoot Rick, the guy she met.
Right, but it was. I didn't like the art. That was my one thing I didn't like.
It was very,
But she shoots him, which now, because she's employed by like a Yakuza guy, and she had this gun that her dad said, you know, use it, but then, you know, get rid of it. But she wanted to keep it because it was from her dad. But now all of a sudden they're like, oh, you have a steady hand. Well, we can use that.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden she's like going to be a hitman for the mob. Or the Yakuza. It was, I liked it a lot, but that one scene, I was just like, I'm reading it like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't have any copies to show you guys, sorry.
Sold out.
I sold out? Well, I didn't order a lot. no offense, but as my son says, all offense. Because when you say no offense, you're really meaning all offense. I don't trust Bendis and his creator-owned stuff. He's had very, very spotty shipping history. Powers, we were getting like one issue a year. Scarlet just disappeared off the face of the earth, and now they're bringing it back. They're bringing it back, but it's like, this has to come out. It doesn't have to be monthly, but it has to be more than whenever. United States of Murder... Just all his stuff just fell off, so I didn't order big. I don't trust him.
And then especially when, because like not only is he trying to bring those back, but he got new ones like this. And then like I just saw he got a new one where, what's it called, like cover or something
like
that? Where like there's like
a
superstar comic.
Right, so it's like, can you do 8 books a month? Because based on track record, no you can't, because these books would have come out, so... I didn't order a ton. I was very conservative in my order for it. But luckily, it's DC. I was able to get more. So I have more coming tomorrow. But no, I thought it was... I enjoyed it. I'm definitely going to keep up with this one to see where he goes with this. I thought it was a neat idea, and it was really well done. It's also Michael Gatos. The best part was the backup story, which I thought was fascinating. He and Michael Gatos, who had done Alias, he's back on doing this with. But they had done a story a long time ago. It was a little black and white story in a prior book, a Batman story. And they reprinted it there. And the text piece was kind of neat because he's like, DC wanted us to, you know, clean it up, you know, the images and stuff. And he's like, no, this is who we were. This is what we did. Let's just reprint it as is. But it was basically Bruce Wayne as Citizen Kane. And it was very interesting.
Okay.
It was really well done. So yeah, that was neat. I probably enjoyed that more than Pearl.
I love the paper.
Well, that overall is DC is going to that paper stock.
Yeah,
it had that thicker paper stock, which I really, really enjoyed. Yeah, I got to send Stuart an email tomorrow about a bunch of stuff. But
you know, I read the new Flash today, and then the art just looks awesome.
Yeah, it's
on that
on
new
this paper.
Paper.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's thicker. It's just, it's not the thin glossy stuff. There's still, I think it's lighter. I really do.
Is there a name for it?
I don't know.
We know what it's called.
That I don't know. I don't know if it's Baxter or Mondo.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know.
They made a big deal about the Baxter paper back in the day.
Yes, they did. It was funny because when Jeremy was on the podcast a long time ago, we talked about Baxter paper. And it was so funny then when the Turtles was doing a series of villain. It was a mini series, and each issue was on a different villain. And Baxter Stockman was on
Baxter paper.
Yeah. So I sent him a picture. I'm like, talking about Baxter Pickle. But no, yeah. So Pearl, that was good. We'll see where that's going.
Last one, new series from Aftershock Volition.
I read that as well. I just read that this morning. Wow. Yeah.
This takes place in 2132 in artificial intelligence.
The setup was fascinating.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand the setup when I read the solicit, but in the text that was setting everything up, fascinating idea.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. We've created AI. Okay, and so we have robots working for us.
It's because I'm not in charge.
Right, but we're worried that they're going to get in charge, so they just do menial tasks. Well, then a
law... Is that always the plan?
No, no, but then a law passes giving them full citizenship, equal rights. So now the new robots are being created for equal rights, that they can do everything. Well, now these older robots were only designed to be menial, so they're still menial.
So like a second class.
Exactly. Exactly, and like they can try to get upgrades if someone will pay for it, or they can do these black market upgrades. Well, these black market upgrades have a virus in them that they call rust, which starts making the robots like almost like Alzheimer's. They kind of start losing it, dementia. So that's where we're at now, and they feel that the only person that can save them is the person who created the first one, and it's this Dr. Tamara or something.
It's like Tramer or something.
Yeah,
like
so, but she has gone full J.D. Salinger, just off the grid. That was just a fascinating beginning. It's like, so no, it's not just that we have AI. No, we don't have robots. Wait, now we have all these different it was just, I was reading going, this is fast. I can totally see this happening. You know, something like this happening. So that was really, it was really cool.
The main character is this, one of the main characters is this robot, Amber.
Right, you see her born, basically.
You see her born at the beginning, and she's trying to figure out, you know, what's helping other robots. And then
one of these infected robots, like, connects with her somehow.
Yeah.
Like, plugs into her, so now she may be infected. She doesn't know. But this robot was saying that he was in charge of protecting the doctor.
Okay.
But you don't know if that's right or not. Is it real, you know, unreliable, you know, character because he's corrupted by this disease? But, yeah, it was, that really was good. Really, really good. I was very impressed by that.
Art was great, too.
Yeah, yeah. I just kind of went in, it's an Aftershock, it's a number one. You know, I try to read all the number ones, but I was very impressed.
What was the name of this?
Volition. Like a lot of the Aftershock Volition. Books, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the people in charge are only putting out, you know, I don't want to say they're all good, but they have a pretty good handle on. They're not just publishing anything that comes along.
Yeah,
I haven't read a whole bunch of theirs, but what I have read has been good.
Yeah.
Like I haven't read one of their titles. They're just like,
eh. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought that was really good.
That insects one was.
That was something.
Awful.
I read number one and okay.
I didn't read that one.
Balance? It wasn't that bad, but it was.
No, but it was not what I was expecting. It was that was something. I didn't go beyond number one. Not that it wasn't bad, but.
No, but it was like. Okay.
If you liked it, you'd stick with it. You done?
That's it. That's all.
Pat,
I got.
What do you got?
I got two.
Okay.
Batman.
I read that.
Yep.
So I really liked this.
Yeah, that was really good. I know you feel Batman's infallible, but he's not God.
The only thing that really bothered me at the end was the fact that he bribed his way to get on the jury to begin with. That didn't feel like a Batman thing to do. Maybe a Bruce Wayne thing to do,
but
not a Batman thing.
Well, right,
but
it was Bruce Wayne. Yeah, but he wanted to make sure he didn't make a mistake.
Yeah. No, I get that, but it didn't feel
I thought that was a neat way to go about it.
Had they left that part out and he just happened to end up on that jury, and then when he hears the case, comes the realization himself, I screwed up.
Well, when you were factoring, like, maybe, like, with... just happened with the wedding, his thinking is like, so maybe like if he wasn't dealing with that, he may not have tried to do that, but like he's already kind of like on a slide, so what's giving a guy another couple grand to, you know,
that's another good point. But even at the end, he's so torn up, he's like, I can't wear the suit that I wore that night. Yeah. Get the original suit. And it was a really
that was
cool
a great
image.
Way to get back to that, yeah.
Though at the same time, I probably said, we'll take the old suit, but I want the upgrades from the new suit. But I really enjoyed
this was a good story arc.
It was three issues. It wasn't that long, but I think it'll be... it'll read well in trade.
Yeah. That was good. And great, Lee Week's art.
Yes. Yeah. But it's... We complain sometimes about, it's so boring that you just have a bunch of people...
Talking.
Yeah. But if it's done right...
Yeah, like if you're good enough writer...
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's all in how it's written and how it's framed.
Yep. But you hear people saying, because of this issue, that Batman's an atheist now. Like, this proves that Batman's an atheist.
Even Tom King's like, I don't think so.
No, yeah.
It's all in how you read it, but...
Yeah.
I'm saying don't make Batman a god,
Well,
he's not infallible.
Well, and that's the other thing. He's making an argument, posing as Bruce Wayne, talking about himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He knows he's not God. That doesn't mean he doesn't believe in a God. I actually, with what has happened to him in his life, he probably does believe in God. He just hates him.
Yeah.
But I thought that was really good.
That's funny. I have one more, and you have one more, and I'm going to bet they're not the same.
Ninjak. No? So Ninja K.
Basically another Batman.
I would say it definitely isn't mine, but I am reading Punisher. So.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
And Moon Knight. So this was... It was a really interesting story. It was about Ninja H, and we learned that on his first mission, he gets blown up and gets a bunch of, cyborg parts put on him, which are trying to take over. So they sedated him using some kind of gas, and he was in a warehouse. Essentially, the Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse, they had him there. But due to the events of the first arc, they had to relocate it. So when they kind of pulled him off the gas, his body had grown immune to it, so they couldn't get him back asleep, and he goes on a rampage to start killing. So, and they bring Ninjak in to try to stop him. This brought in a lot of what I liked about the first arc, where you're going through the history of the ninja program. And it kind of lets you see where it started and where it's headed. And at the same time, how the agents kind of realized that they're tools for the government. They're being manipulated more than they think they're being manipulated. So it was really interesting.
Colin. Me, my last one was Extermination.
I read that.
Spencer read that.
See,
it's the X-Men book.
Extermination.
Where someone is coming and taking out, he kidnapped one of the X-Men, maybe killed another X-Man.
Not Goldball.
Well, he, two X-Men, no. Technically.
Yeah.
Okay. He killed.
Cuckoos?
No.
No, that would be three.
No, took out Cable, three, yeah. And who else?
Bloodstorm. Fan favorite Bloodstorm.
Yeah, see, I didn't know who that was, so I completely went out of my
mind. Fan favorite?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Vampire. Bloodstorm, who's Vampire Storm.
From another universe, who is,
so remember reading, because I was reading, I'm going, when did Storm get bitten? What?
And who kind of has a thing with young Cyclops, which isn't, that's not weird.
Okay, no. Yeah, that's... Alright.
But then what, kidnapped Iceman?
Yes, yeah, kidnapped Iceman.
Who's the other one you got killed?
Cable.
Cable?
Yeah, so it's a good thing. I didn't realize this series ended, so he's dead. He's gone.
Forever. Dead forever.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. Well, maybe not, because then at the end it's revealed who this mysterious person was. Because it's kind of funny that in both the two events they have going, Extermination and Infinity Wars, is this mysterious hooded character.
Is it the same mysterious
hooded it's
character?
It's not.
Okay.
It's not. But do you want to guess who it is?
Uncle Ben.
You'd know it's an X-Men. It's one of the X-Men characters. So go to that universe.
What's Nick Fury called now?
Nick Fury Jr.? Oh, I don't know. Is he the Watcher, or did they give him a different name? I don't know.
He is that.
No, you want to know?
Duke?
Nate Gray.
Ooh.
Oh! Hey-o!
Now the fun thing.
That was one of those where you turn the page and you're like, what?
At least it wasn't Clue.
No, it wasn't Candyman or whatever that guy's name is.
Candyman.
What's the one from... It was Generation Next from the Age of Apocalypse. Was that guy? He was the big mouth, big head guy. I probably
got nothing.
Sorry.
Draw a blank.
No problem.
Big head X-Men guy.
Yeah, I forget what his name was. But, yeah. So, yeah. X-Man. Dun, X. dun, dun. So. That was that. I'm hearing drilling outside.
No, it's not drilling. It's tamping.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's coming out next week,
I don't know, Pat, because I don't have the invoice.
Okay. I gave you the invoice, Colin. We know one of the things.
There are many, yes. Well, we'll get to that in the V's. We have... I'm not sure what this one is. Beyonders. Oh, I know it. This is another one from Aftershock. We have Bone Parish number 2. This is the Cullen Bunn one. Number 1 was quite good. And because it's a fifth week, we get a special DC stuff, and we're getting Catwoman, Tweety, and Sylvester special. There's more in that line coming. We have Daredevil Annual, Edge of Spider-Geddon 2. So if you love number 1, Euthanauts, which I did enjoy, number 2 is coming out. Extermination number 2. This is cool. The Fantastic Four number 1 facsimile edition. Basically, it's a reproduction of Fantastic Four number 1.
Like a black and white?
No. No, like a color, but just it's a reprint, but...
Of the original.
Of the original Fantastic Four number 1.
Okay.
With the ads and everything?
That's my guess. Yeah. Being a facsimile edition, it should be the same
old
thing.
60s ads, yeah.
We have Harbinger Wars 2 number 4, wrapping up Harbinger Wars 2. Harley Quinn Gossamer Special, House Amok. This one's from IDW. I think that was about like some kid. Oh no, sorry. I'm going to botch it if I try to. But as I recall, it looked interesting. Hunt for Wolverine Dead Ends, wrapping up all the Hunt for Wolverine books, leading into the Return of Wolverine. We have Joker Daffy Duck Special. And the Lex Luthor Porky Pig special with one of the most disturbing covers.
Yeah, that was a creepy-ass cover.
That was an interesting cover. We have Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Shattered Grid number 1, which I believe is wrapping up that story.
It is.
Nightwing Annual. It is an awesome week for Spencer.
It is.
New previews next week as well. Previews due next week, so please give it a look. Open it up. Look at it. I haven't done that yet. This one is going to be a big one. Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons. Scarlet number 1, another one from Bendis. Fingers loosely crossed. We have Venom First Host. This is a miniseries about the first person that was taken in by the symbiote.
Wasn't that Spider-Man?
I thought it was too. So,
yeah.
But in the Venom story, it's not. Like, he appeared before. And then, with the one that Pat is giddy about, and when I say giddy, I mean giddy. Is Web of Venom Venom, basically Venom in Vietnam. Because he got it during Secret Wars on that other planet.
That's what I thought.
I have a book that just came in. I can check that. No, I'm kidding. We have X-Files, Case-Files, Hoot Goes There, number 2, just for Dave.
Hootie Hoot.
And X-Men Grand Design, Second Genesis, number 2, the second part of that. People really liked part 1. So... Lighter week next week because of the fifth week. Really, very little DC.
We even had like a couple annuals this week too.
Yeah, they kind of spread the annuals out all month because we had the Damage Annual was this week.
Silencer Annual was next week.
Was it? Did I miss that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
That wasn't something to really talk about.
Yeah,
Silence Radio. Yeah. So, you know, put the list up as usual. So, a little later week, we'll see. Maybe we'll do something fun. Although I got a lot going on, and I had completely forgotten that the 12th anniversary celebration is coming up in
a couple weeks.
So I got to start thinking about that, because that's September.
Clear some space.
I will, yeah, if we can just get rid of these empty boxes, and then all my fun. Oh, I can't wait to go through those. Some good books that I recall fondly. So that's all we got. Book club is next Friday, where we're doing Preacher, and we're doing Vertigo month. So
Venom month.
I know it was
that's
a
October.
Vertigo month, where we're doing all Vertigo books. You get double points on. So I think that's all I got. As always, you can find me here at the store, or the website's PittsburghComics.com, Facebook Pittsburgh Comics. Instagram and Twitter are both PGH Comics. So I am hoping to... James from Harrisburg is asking if I had any thoughts on Uncanny at $7.99. I already talked about that, James. So that's about it. I think that's all we got for this week. So, Pat, I don't think you've said in a while.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.